വിധാന വിജ്ഞ നവർത്തിതവ്യം തരധർമ്മ ബാന്ധോ ധർമ്മേന സത്യേന ച വർത്തിതവ്യേ പ്രമാവതേ യത്ര യജന്തി യജ്ഞാർ യജ്ഞേശ്വരം യജ്ഞവിധാന വിജ്ഞാ നവർത്തിതവ്യം തദധർമ്മ ബാന്ധോ ധർമ്മേന സത്യേന ച വർത്തിതവ്യേ പ്രമാവതേ യത്ര യജന്തി യജ്ഞാർ യജ്ഞേശ്വരം യജ്ഞവിധാന ധർമ്മേന സത്യേന ച വർത്തിതവ്യേ പ്രമാവതേ യത്ര യജന്തി യജ്ഞാർ യജ്ഞേശ്വരം യജ്ഞവിധാന വിജ്ഞാ വൈഷ്ണവീസ് നവർത്തിതവ്യം തരധർമ്മ ബാന്ധോ ധർമ്മേന സത്യേന ച വർത്തിതവ്യേ പ്രമാവതേ യത്ര യജന്തി യജ്ഞാർ യജ്ഞേശ്വരം യജ്ഞവിധാന വിജ്ഞാ നവർത്തിതവ്യം തദധർമ്മ ബാന്ധോ ധർമ്മേന സത്യേന ച വർത്തിതവ്യേ പ്രമാവതേ യത്ര യജന്തി യജ്ഞാർ യജ്ഞേശ്വരം യജ്ഞവിധാന വിജ്ഞാ നോട്ട് വർത്തിതവ്യം ഡിസേർവ് ടു റിമെയിൻ തത് Therefore, adharma, irreligiosity, bandho, friend, dharmena, with religion, Satyena, with truth. Cha, also. Vartitavye, being situated in. Brahma avarte, place where sacrifice is performed. Yatra, where. Yajanti, duly perform. Yajna, by sacrifices or devotional services. Yajna Ishvaram, unto the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead. Yajna, sacrifice. Vitana, spreading. Vijna, experts. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, O friend of irreligion, you do not deserve to remain in a place where experts perform sacrifices according to truth and religious principles for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Please repeat. Therefore, O friend of irreligion, you do not deserve to remain in a place where experts perform sacrifices according to truth and religious principles for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. Yagneshvara, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the beneficiary of all kinds of sacrificial ceremonies. Such sacrificial ceremonies are prescribed differently in the scriptures for different ages. In other words, sacrifice means to accept the supremacy of the Lord and thereby perform acts by which the Lord may be satisfied in all respects. The atheists do not believe in the existence of God, and they do not perform any sacrifice for the satisfaction of the Lord. Any place or country where the supremacy of the Lord is accepted and the sacrifice is performed is called Brahmavarta. There are different countries in different parts of the world, and in each and every country may have different types of sacrifice to please the Supreme Lord. But the central point in pleasing Him is ascertained in the Bhagavatam, and it is truthfulness. The basic principle of religion is truthfulness, and the ultimate goal of all religions is to satisfy the Lord. In this age of Kali, the greatest common formula of sacrifice is the Sankirtan Yajna. That is the opinion of the experts who know how to propagate the process of Yajna. Lord Chaitanya preached this method of yajna, and it is understood from this verse that the sacrificial method of Sankirtan yajna may be performed anywhere and everywhere in order to drive away the personality of Kali and save human society from falling prey to the influence of the age. Jai. Om Gyana Timaranda Shya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshusha Malitamyena Tasmai Sri Gurve Namah. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upagadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Panchakopa Tubhischa Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaham. Translation again. Therefore, O friend of irreligion, you do not deserve to remain in a place where experts perform sacrifices according to truth and religious principles for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here we have the king is chastising this friend of irreligion, and you're not allowed, you don't deserve to remain where these sacrifices, these yajnas, are being performed. Specifically, as Prabhupada mentions, the Sankirtan Yajna. And wherever this is being performed, a sacrifice to please Krishna, is known as Brahmavarta. So this is a very special thing that is described. And I have a few references to this in Prabhupada's books here. Just to go back there, let's see here. There's one in the third canto. This is a conversation between Manu and Kardama. And this is about Emperor Swayambhuva Manu, who's the son of Lord Brahma. And he's well known for his religious acts. And he has a seat in this, what's called the Brahmavarta. And he rules over the oceans and the earth described and the seven oceans. So Prabhupada in the purports describes, sometimes it is stated that Brahmavarta is a part of Kukshetra, or that Kukshetra itself is situated in Brahmavarta. Because the demigods are recommended to perform spiritual ritualistic performances in Kukshetra. But in others' opinion, Brahmavarta is a place in Brahmaloka where Swayambhuva Manu, or Swayambhuva, ruled. There are many places on the surface of this earth which are also known in the higher planetary systems. We have places on this planet like Vrindavan, Dwarka, and Mathura, but they are also eternally situated in Krishna Loka. So this is interesting how these particular names, where it's described where Brahma lives, he's situated in Brahmavarta, where great sacrifices were being performed. And Prabhupada relates that to these holy places that we have on this planet, like Vrindavan, Dwarka, Mathura, and actually they are like being in Krishna Loka, the spiritual world. So this is a kind of atmosphere the Sankirtan Jagya can produce. It's a spiritual atmosphere. And it completely drives away Kali and his influence. So there's one more reference that I found. Here Prabhupada describes, this is in regard to the instructions by Maharaj Prithu to the citizens. And we know he was an unrivaled king. He possessed the scepter to rule the seven islands as described on the surface of the globe. And no one would disobey his order. It was irrevocable. But the saintly kings, I mean the saintly persons, the brahmanas, and the descendants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they were not under the rule of the king because they were advisors. They were above instruction like that. So in the purport, there's one paragraph I'd like to read. Prabhupada talks about Sapta Dvipa refers to the seven great islands or continents on the surface of the globe. So he mentions them. 1, Asia. 2, Europe. 3, Africa. 4, North America. 5, South America. 6, Australia. And 7, Oceania. In the modern age, people are under the impression that during the Vedic period, or the prehistoric ages, America and many other parts of the world had not been discovered. But that is not a fact. Prithu Maharaj ruled over the world many thousands of years before the so-called prehistoric age. It is clearly mentioned here that in those days, not only were all the different parts of the world known, but they were ruled by one king, Maharaj Prithu. The country where Prithu Maharaj resided must have been India, because it is stated in the 11th verse of this chapter that he lived in the tract of land between the river Ganges and Jamuna. This tract of land is called Brahmavarta. Consists of what is known in the modern age as portions of Punjab and northern India. It is clear that the kings of India once ruled all the world and that their culture was Vedic. So you can see another king here. We're talking about Maharaj Prithu, and we're talking about the different kings in our chapter, this chapter today. How wherever they ruled, it was like Brahmavarta. It was a sanctified place. And if anybody was going against that, they would be kicked out. And they were powerful enough to do that. But compare the difference now, we have rulers. And wherever they rule, it's just a place of sense gratification. or it's a mundane place like a golf course where they hang out, or you know, so many illicit places that they go. So they actually have no way of protecting the citizens. They don't know how to protect the citizens. They don't know how to protect them from the evil influences of this age. But we're seeing, as we're so fortunate, we have the great gifts that are given to us by Srila Prabhupada, ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and the devotees, where we can take shelter of these Brahmavarta places, a place to live, where it's free from the influence of Kali. And wherever the devotees go, like out on Sankirtan, they perform the Sankirtan Yajna, they're creating a spiritual atmosphere. They're actually bringing the spiritual world there. You see? And many people, when Srila Prabhupada would go to different places, they would say, wow, this whole place is transformed. And you can see many festivals that we've had, like Rath Yatra, you see just the whole Venice Beach Pavilion is converted practically into the spiritual world. Right? There's so much yajna going on. It's like a Brahmavarta, a holy place. So this is so wonderful. So, and then Prabhupada mentions in the purport there about the ultimate goal. And let's go back to that. In the purport, he says here, the basic principles, well, he says, first of all, that there's different types of sacrifice to please the Supreme Lord, but the central point in pleasing Him is ascertained in the Bhagavatam, and that is truthfulness. So this is interesting, that the central point to please Krishna is to get the truth, is to know the truth, to be truthful. So what is true? Is living in this material world, trying to enjoy our materialistic body, is that true? Is gaining material wealth, materialistic things, material association, all these things, is that true? Because you see, actually the material world is dead matter. It comes from the, you know, pradhan, which is all these different elements. And they're shaped into forms to imitate the real forms in the spiritual world. So they look like, the trees here look like the trees in the spiritual world. But they're actually made with material elements. The water is made with material elements. It resembles the rivers in the spiritual world. The bodies here we have, they're materialistic. They resemble the bodies, how they, you know, work in the spiritual world. But it's not true. It's a material place, which is temporary. It's real, you know, in a sense. We say it's illusory because it's temporary, but it's real. And we could use this place to convert this material energy into spiritual energy. And the secret is, here it's describing, is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it says here that the main thing is truthful. So we want the truth. We don't want to be lied to about who you are, where you're going, and ultimately what the goal of life is. So depending on your consciousness, where you're at, there's different dimensions that you can elevate to. And it describes in the Bhagavatam, there's artha, kama, moksha, you know, all these different things. And then you get it to liberation. So we have, in a society, we work from Monday through Friday. You know, we're doing our kama, our work, you know, our special work, which is our dharma, where we're practicing this dharma Monday through Friday. And then we get our payday, actually on Friday. That's our artha. We get something. And then here comes Saturday. That's our kama. We get to enjoy. You know, it's a weekend. Yay, we could just enjoy. And then after we, you know, burn ourselves out on Saturday, wake up the next morning, Sunday, burned out. Oh, man, I got to go to church. Let's get liberation, moksha. So this goes on and on. It's like, you know, the spinning wheel, back and forth, you know, like the dog chasing its tail, trying to enjoy in the material world, just on and on and on. So this is what's happening in the material world. And we see what's such a great example that in the story of Dhruva Maharaj. He was interested in, He was considered to be a Sarvakama. He wanted like the greatest wealth, the best place, you know, everything. He wanted to just show his father and his grandfather and everybody that I want the best. And, you know, he was given the process. And by the mercy of Narada Muni, he got that plus more. And then he realized himself that this stuff is just useless. It's like I was looking for broken glass, but I found a gem. And I don't want anything else but Krishna. And then we see when Dhruva Maharaj got older, he was a king ruling, and his brother got killed by the Yaksha. And he, as a king, he's meant to give justice. So he went out and started to slaughter the Yakshas. And he got so angry that the anger is like very addicting and it's very hard. But even a great personality like this can be covered over by this material energy. So he got covered over with anger and he started to slaughter their entire race. He was about to enter the city and destroy the entire city of the Yakshas. He was that powerful. This is how powerful the kings were in those days. But yet, because he was a devotee and he had respect for, you know, advanced devotees and his mentors, or we could say like that, he was Swayambhuva Manu. He came to him and preached to him and said, "No, you're going too far. This is too much for you. You can't do this. For one person who killed your brother, you're slaughtering all these Yakshas," which didn't have anything to do with it. So he actually calmed down, and Kuvera is the father of these Yakshas. I mean, he's like, it's his race. So, you know, Swayambhuva Manu told him, "You're offending Kuvera. This is his, you know, his family." And Kuvera is like the king of kings. He's the one who makes kings king, because unless you get the blessings of Kuvera, you can't become a king. He gives unlimited wealth, so many things to people. So he's very, very, he can give blessings in that way. So he was so pleased by Dhruva Maharaj that he appeared before him. And even though his family was being slaughtered, he was very happy that he stopped fighting and he wanted to give Dhruva Maharaj a benediction. He said, "Take anything you want." So we see here Dhruva Maharaj, who wanted, you know, the most of anything in this material world, asked by the King of Kings, "What would you like?" He told him that, "Actually, all I want to do is remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, never forget him. And this is actually the ultimate goal. This is the real goal of life." And it's so nicely described where Dhruva Maharaj, here I'll quote this. This is the verse where he asked for benediction from Kuvera. And Dhruva Maharaj, it says, "That elevated, most pure devotee who was an intelligent and thoughtful king begged that he might have unflinching faith in and remembrance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For thus a person can cross over the ocean of nescience very easily, although it is very difficult for others to cross." So in this purport is where Srila Prabhupada brings up these different types of benedictions we can get according to our consciousness. And that's in, like we described about economic development, sense gratification, you know, ultimate liberation. Four types of benedictions. But Dhruva Maharaj, he wanted a benediction that would surpass even the highest purushartha, which is liberation. And Prabhupada writes in that purport, he says here, he wanted the benediction that he might constantly remember the lotus feet of the Lord. This stage of life is called Panchama Purushartha. When a devotee comes to the platform of Pancha Purushartha, simply engage in a devotional service to the Lord, the fourth Purushartha, liberation, becomes very insignificant in his eyes. Srila Prabhavananda Saraswati has stated in this connection that for a devotee, liberation is a hellish condition of life. As for sense gratification, which is available in the heavenly planets, the devotee considers it to be a will-o'-the-wisp, having no value in life. Yogis endeavor to control the senses, but for a devotee, controlling the senses is no difficulty at all. The senses are compared to serpents, but for a devotee, the serpents poison teeth are broken. So this is where Prabhupada talks about this Srila Prabhupada. He analyzed all these different kinds of benedictions and how he declared that for a pure devotee, they're no significance at all. And it's described here, Dhruva Maharaj was also a Mahabhagavata, or a first-class pure devotee, and his intelligence was very great, Mahamati. Unless one is very intelligent, one cannot take to devotional service or Krishna consciousness. So this intelligence is very important. And how can one be intelligent if he doesn't know the truth or accept the truth? So all your activities and everything is based on a lie or based on falsity. How is that considered intelligent? And here we have, you know, Dhruva Maharaj is considered to be a Mahamati, very intelligent. Not only that, a Mahabhagavata. And this is what he's desiring, is this, is, this fifth kind of liberation. So Prabhupada says, unless one is very intelligent, one cannot take to devotional service or Krishna consciousness. Naturally, anyone who is a first-class devotee must be a first-class intelligent person and therefore not interested in any kind of benediction within this material world. Dhruva Maharaj was offered a benediction by the King of Kings, Kuvera, the treasurer of the demigods, whose only business is to supply immense riches to persons within this materialistic world. As described, or is described as the King of Kings, because unless one is blessed by Kuvera, one cannot become a king. And the King of Kings personally offered Dhruva Maharaj any amount of riches, but he declined to accept them. He is described there as Mahamati, very thoughtful or highly intelligent. So there's many examples like this, people being offered benedictions. And we see according to their consciousness, they would desire certain things. But we see all the advanced devotees would want the highest thing. And we just had the appearance of Srimati Radharani, and we're talking about how these great personalities were in association with the devotees like Uddhava, and he realized what a great devotion they had. They always wanted to think of Krishna. And it's interesting how when he came to meet the gopis were so much reminded of Krishna because he looked a lot like Krishna, so they wanted him to stay longer. So he stayed, and then when he was about to leave, they actually, these elevated devotees asked Uddhava Maharaj, who wanted to be a blade of grass at their feet, because he thought himself so unqualified to be in their association practically. But the gopis, they approached him and asked him for a benediction. And they were saying, can you please benedict us so that every thought that we have or every word that we speak is always about Krishna? And all their activities are just centered around Krishna. So they're just showing these great elevated devotees are wanting benedictions like this. And we may think that just like Dhruva Maharaj is asking Kuvera, who is the king of, is like the treasure of the demigods, he's asking for practically pure devotion also from a king. So we might think, well, how is he? Is he like a pure devotee? Can he give benedictions? But actually the demigods, they're in power. They have a lot of pious activity and they're meant to help the devotees. Just like the gopis would pray to Katyayani to have Krishna as their husband. They may not personally be pure devotees, but Krishna will empower them to bless. They can get these blessings from devotees, their devotees. Similarly, we go out on Sankirtan, we may not be pure devotees, but we're representatives of a pure devotee. And you could present Krishna. You could change the atmosphere. You could give them the association of pure devotees. So we as devotees must also become truthful to ourselves. That means it's through this chapter we're finding how to follow the regulated principles of freedom. You know, chanting 16 rounds very sincerely. Even chanting, we may think over chanting and thinking of something else or trying to chant to gain something material, whether it be fame, subtle, or something for payment, whatever. So it has to be pure. So this is so important. So, and then I'd like to talk here about this highest platform. It's described, and you read through Srila Prabhupada's books, and how we could get to that highest platform. This is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and this is from the Madhya Lila 9, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu travels all the holy places. And this is the verse that says, when one comes to the platform of loving service to Lord Krishna, by executing these 9 processes, beginning with hearing and chanting, he has attained the 5th platform of success and the limit of life's goals. So this is it. Loving service to Krishna. So again, Prabhupada talks about these different levels of economic development, sense gratification. And then he quotes a quote from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is very famous, Dharma Proijita Kaitavo, that completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated. No cheating. This Bhagavat Purana propounds the highest truth. And it's relished and understood by the devotees who are pure in heart. So this is our program. We be true to ourselves and we become pure so that we can actually understand and appreciate this Bhagavatam. One more verse. Love of God is so exalted that it is considered to be the 5th goal of human life. By awakening one's love of God, one can attain the platform of conjugal love, tasting it even during the present span of life. That's very powerful. So, yeah. Prabhupada talks about this as the 5th dimension. There's a lecture that he gave in Montreal in 1968. And here I'll just read this short paragraph. Sridhar Swami, a great commentator on the Srimad Bhagavatam, says, Atra moksha, moksha bishanti api nirastam. Oh, the Srimad Bhagavatam is above the idea of liberation. So unless we come to that platform, Pancha Purushartha, the 5th dimension. So here again, Prabhupada talks about Dharma, the 1st, Artha, the 2nd, Kama, 3rd, Moksha, 4th. And devotion is the 5th platform, Adhokshika. There are different stages of understanding, Pratyaksha, Paroksha, Aparaksha, Adhokshaja, and Aprakrita. So this is our ways of understanding, our different levels of consciousness. And Prabhupada says, the ordinary understanding, direct perception, is called pratyaksha. Now, higher than that is called pratyaksha understanding, is higher than pratyaksha is paroksha. Means to gather knowledge from higher authorities. And above that, a paroksha realization, and above that is adhokshaja. Adhokshaja means beyond the understanding of these material senses. And above that, there is aprakrita, completely transcendental. So the bhakti is on the transcendental platform beyond adhokshaja. So just see the type of consciousness, the type of platform, and different dimension that we can be on, even in this life. It's described here. So that's very nicely described. So I'd like to just end with a nice story that was given by Navayogendra Swami one time. He was here in L.A. And it talks about how these pure devotees, they're not interested in anything material. So there's this husband and wife. He said this actually took place in Kali Yuga sometime. It was these pure devotee couple in South India. And their names was Ranka and Banka. And they were very, very poor. But they're so devoted. And Narada Muni was watching them. He's like, wow, they're so devoted. Why are they so poor? So he went and complained to Krishna. And he said, you know, it seems like you're giving non-devotees a lot of things, but you don't give your devotees anything, hardly. Why are these devotees suffering? They're such pure devotees. And he said, no, Narada, it's not like that. It's like, you know, devotees, they don't want anything material, so that's not their desire. And Narada says, I knew you were going to say that. You just don't want to give them anything. So he says, no, I'll show you. Okay. He says, oh, you want me to give them something? He goes, yeah, give them something. So he said, okay. So when they would walk, they would go to the town or the village. The man would always walk in front, and the woman would be behind, and she would be covered, you know, because of the Vedic culture, chaste. Because they knew the woman's face is like, can attract a man, and, you know, they both fall down. So she was like that, and then she would stay a distance because they were too shy to associate in public together. So he would walk ahead. So as he was walking ahead, Krishna put a big pile, like a little mound of gold coins on the path. And then Ranka, he saw these, and he goes, oh, if my wife sees these, she might think, oh, look, Krishna's given us all these gold coins. And then she's going to want a house, and then we're going to have to get furniture and all these things, and we're going to have to, and then our focus would be away from Krishna. So he said, no, I should probably cover this up. So he started getting dirt and covering up the gold coins. But before he finished, he was like, his wife had actually came. He was like, oh, no, you know, she's going to see these. So his wife was saying, what are you doing? Why are you putting dirt on dirt? So you see, she was completely transcendental also. He was thinking that she was going to be attracted to the gold, but she just saw none different as dirt. So this is an example of pure devotees. And this is why they don't really want anything in the mature world. They're on a different dimension. We can't imagine. So we want to go to that different dimension and really please Krishna. That's the ultimate goal of life. So thank you for your kind attention. Any comments or questions? Yes, Maharaj. Okay. Anybody else? Maharaj is letting someone else go first. Yeah, go ahead, Prabhu. Okay. It's a battle.
First of all, thank you very much for a very enlightening class, especially dealing with the subject of pure love of God.
Thank
Nothing
you.
Can be better than that. Sometimes we go out on a tangent.
Big subject.
And we never get back. So, but you stuck to your guns, so to speak, and I was very happy to hear it.
Yeah, I spoke. It's on, I think.
It is on.
Put it closer to your mouth, Maharaj.
What? Is it all right now? Can
yeah,
you hear?
Yeah, keep
okay,
it close.
So
yeah.
I just wanted to mention just a few points. And that is, you were comparing the material world with the spiritual world, and that actually the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world, but of course we know that it is a perverted reflection.
Yeah.
It's twisted. It's not exactly the same, and yet there are certain similarities to
yeah.
it. So one of the things in the spiritual world that you don't find in the material world is, for example, you have kalpa vriksha trees. A kalpa vriksha tree is a desire tree. So, for example, if I go to a mango tree here, and and there's no mangoes on it, and I say, mango, I want a mango, come on, mango, nothing's going to happen. You have to wait for its season. And when the season comes, then the mango comes. Okay? But in the kalpa vriksha, you just have to beg for it. I want a mango, please. And boom, there's a mango. And not only mangoes, but other things. If you want honey, you can have honey. So things come immediately, instantly. Unlike here, you have to learn patience. You have to learn to endure. You have to wait for the proper time for it to come. Whereas a devotee who's already achieved patience, already achieved control, he can receive immediately because he is already attached to Krishna. And being attached to Krishna, he will not get attached to that mango. He will see the mango as an embodiment of one of Krishna's creations. Everything he sees in relation to Krishna. And similarly, the cows. Cows cannot give milk unless, you know, they've had calves. And then the calves, they take the milk. Whereas in the spiritual world, we have a Sarabi cow. The Sarabi cow gives instantly, at once, at request. Again, for the same reason. Everyone is there to serve. And who do you serve in the spiritual world? You serve the devotees of Krishna. So therefore that cow loves to give milk immediately to the devotees, and the kalpa vriksha tree wants to give whatever, because everyone is in a service mentality. And that's what we have to try to emulate and try to, whenever we get an opportunity to give some service, we should jump on it and utilize it, it not only for our own benefit, but also the person who receives it, when he receives it with our love, he also takes benefit of that love and also maybe encouraged to want to do the same thing, give that love in that way. There was one other point that I had, but it slipped my mind. Oh, yes, you were mentioning the fifth, if I can remember, the fifth the liberation. You mentioned the different five kinds of liberation. And basically, and you mentioned through your story, that the liberation is not so important. What is more important is developing just pure love for the lotus feet of Krishna and always feeling that whatever you're doing is inconsequential and unimportant in terms of what the Lord deserves. The Lord deserves a mountain of mercy of what we can give, but our feeling is that I've given nothing because compared to what the Lord has given me, I'm like a beggar trying to give the Lord some of this wealth, so to speak. So I'll just finish this point. So the important point is that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was talking to Lord Chaitanya, and he mentioned that these different kinds of liberation basically are not very important, although four of them have value, and four of them can be used by the devotees, such as Salokya, which is going to the planet and doing service for the Lord there, or let me get to the main point. Sayuja, which is merging with the Supreme Lord, and that is considered hellish by the devotees because there's no service in the Supreme Light. All there is there is just nothing, basically just floating in peace. So that's considered not desirable for devotees. And not only that, but one has to come back to the material world when one enters into the Sayuja infinite light. The others are, there is devotional service there, such as on Salokya, which is the same planet, Sarupya having the same form as the Lord, Sarshti, wealth we may have there and offer that wealth back to the Lord, and Samipya. What is Samipya? Anybody help me? Samipya is the
same form.
Sarshti was wealth, and Samipya is
same
what?
Form as the Lord.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. Thank you so much. So having the association of the Lord, of course, that's very desirable because basically if you have that association in a humble and a devoted and a dedicated way, then you can make advancement in that. However, again, the Sayuja, which is merging with the impersonal Brahman, is to be shunned because it really doesn't take you up. It takes you back down to the material world again.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you.
I think there was a question out there, but I think he left. Anybody else have any comments or questions? Jai. Well, thank you for your kind attention. How goes Srimad Bhagavatam? How goes Srila Prabhupada?